Alrighty, so we are on the first topic, and I am extremely happy right now. Okay, so if you've been living under a rock, you know, if you haven't been living under a rock, you know that Kamala Harris has now been chosen as the VP, the Vice President of the United States. So, you know, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are going to be running. So, as usual, you know, people are going to be all upset. People already got a lot of opinions. You know, we got our opinions over here on Wild Words. So, we're going to break it down a little bit. Now, I've been doing a little bit of research on Kamala. You know, that wasn't really my first choice. I was more so on Elizabeth Warren. But we got to get out of this whole thing that a politician is going to be perfect. You know, voting is only the first step of the process, you know, and I, like I said, I'm talking to myself too. You know, you don't just, you know, just vote and then just sit back and be like, okay, they got it now. You're going to, whoever is in there, you're going to have to agitate and keep your policy agenda at the forefront and to hold them accountable, you know. And then you got to ask yourself, hey, who is more likely to enact your reforms? Okay, so man, but I'm over this whole thing with people getting upset with Kamala. Okay, when you look at her record as a prosecutor, I mean, she has some good, she has some bad, you know. Like, you look at the truancy law that she did when she was trying to encourage people to go to school. That was the whole motivation behind the law, was to trying to get people to go to school back in the day when she was in San Francisco. But they didn't even really arrest any parents, you know. Now I guess they threatened arresting them, but they really was like, hey, why are you not coming to school? They had some type of board set up to say, hey, why you ain't coming to school, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And they said that, hey, it helped increase people coming to school. So I get that, I get now in 2020 why people don't like the fact that you're using the police in that type of issue. But hey, I mean, it worked. So, you know, hey, can you be mad at it? I know she did some bad things back in the day when it comes to the death penalty. She said she didn't like the death penalty, but she fought against it, you know, in California. So I get certain stuff like that. Okay, I understand. And it's a lot that you could talk about what she did, but she actually did a program called Back on Track, where she was trying to people who had low level drug offenses. She was actually, you know, having them do community service. They could have a job training program. So I mean, you know, so she did some good stuff when she was a prosecutor. But also, I guess that some people just don't like prosecutors because, you know, they have to arrest people, and you know, they sometimes use messed up tactics to do that. So, you know, but that aside, I didn't really hear this smoke coming from people who liked Eric Holder. Eric Holder was a top cop. He had a lot of stuff in his past, but he probably did the same thing, was arresting people for low level drug offenses, doing the same stuff, you know. And then people act like Kamala is the first person to flip-flop on an issue. Like, she's far from it. Like, Obama did the same thing with same-sex marriage. You know, he wasn't for it in 08, and then he was for it in 2012. You know, so, you know, we got to get into, what is she doing now? What is some of the stuff that she is doing now? And for my money, like in 2020, it seemed like she is on the right path. Okay, so she got a task force looking at COVID and looking at racial disparities in COVID, because you know that Black and Hispanic people are dying at a higher rate than white people. So she's looking into that. She had a bill talking about, hey, $600 billion to HBCUs. So shout out my HBCU, BSU. Okay. And I know they come with a lot of promises, and that's why it's our job as voters to hold them accountable. Okay, so I'm reading some of this stuff. You know, it sounds good. Kamala takes on opportunity gap. So talking about Black home ownership and trying to get more Black people to get homes and trying to make that process a little bit better for us. So, you know, and as usual, you got to go through the specifics of each policy, but you know, these sound like good things, you know. She unveiled a plan to find companies that pay women and women unequal pay for the same work. So she gonna find some companies. That's what she's talking about, you know. And then this is my favorite, you know, she's talking about raising teacher salary. So by $13,500. So she really, you know, does that. That would be an awesome, awesome help for me. Okay. And I think I even looked in her past about her. She got like $20 billion back when it came to these banks, when it came to the home mortgage crisis in 2008. So, I mean, she got some good stuff on her resume, but I'm just looking at now. You look at her policies, we got to hold her accountable, because there's been no president that just done, you know, what they're supposed to be doing without pressure. Okay, so I understand Biden got his pass, Kamala got her pass, but it's up to us as voters to hold them accountable. Even, you know, if they win, which I hope they do, you got to hold them accountable, man. We got to hold them accountable. You know, but yeah. But if you at this point are still unsure, do I want to vote for Trump? Do I want to vote for Biden or Harris? That's racism. I'm just going to say it straight up. That's racism. That's sexism. If you are you willing to go with Trump after all the bullshit that he didn't did, that's racism at this point. You know what I'm saying? Like how he's been treating the protesters in D.C. He gassed them and used all these rubber bullets and people was hurt just for him to take a photo with the Bible upside down. What kind of shit is that? You know what I'm saying? Then how he was sending federal troops over at Portland and doing all that types of stuff. So all the racist stuff he didn't say it. You know, he calling Kamala Harris nasty. But how nasty is it for you to be accused of rape? You know what I'm saying? Several cases of it, too. So, like, 6 or 7accusations. And saying that he's going to grab women by the vagina, all of this stuff. So, how nasty is that? So, at this point, if you're confused on Trump, it's not that you're confused on Trump. It's really your sexism and racism coming out. That's pretty much what's going on, you know. Dude did too many things, and even if you're someone with the police, he's someone who he wants less regulation of police and not more, you know. So I don't get it. I mean, I do get it. It's just racism and sexism, you know. And I think some people are misinformed, but at this point, you know, you're just not paying attention, you know. And Trump is very, very outward with his racism and, you know, his policy. So, you know, but I'm going for Kamala, you know, and I'm Kamala all day, you know. And like I said, it's up to us. And when I say us, that's me too, to hold her accountable on a lot of these things that she's saying that she is going to do when she gets in office. And then not only on electing her, but we also got to make sure, and you know, Biden and Harris, but we also got to look at the Senate. And I'm liking that it's a lot of progressives, you know, Richie Torres. You got AOC, you got Omar, you got Jamal Bowman. You got a lot of progressive people that's coming into Congress. So, Cori Bush. So, you know, hey, let's get it. But yeah, we got to hold these people accountable, because all politicians, it doesn't matter who, even the best ones, they got to be forced into glory. They got to be forced into doing some of these hard, or difficult things. So that's my take. What you think about Kamala? Tell me what you think on Wild Word. We on the next topic. Everybody, we on the next topic. Alrighty, so we on the second topic. And I want to rap about Jerry Jones. Okay, so if you don't know who that is, he is the owner of the Dallas Cowboys. And he is in the news now because, you know, he's been very silent on a lot of these social justice, police brutality issues in 2017. Yeah, but 2017, when they had all the national anthem controversy, you know, Colin Kaepernick started kneeling. And then people took offense to that because they said, oh, you're disrespecting our soldiers. You're disrespecting the veterans by refusing to stand for the national anthem. And it was all this political posturing, and you know, I think even Pence came to the game one time, and Trump tweeted they need to stand up for our country and all of this stuff. And this whole flag stuff, we all knew that it wasn't about the flag. It was never about the flag. It was always about it was always a protest trying to focus the attention on police brutality, on the fact that black and mostly black people are being killed, you know, when they're unarmed, dealing with the police, so black and brown people. But, you know, he was focused mostly on black people right now. But yeah, you know, that was what the protest was about. So he was going to kneel, and because at first he was sitting down, it was a veteran that said, hey, maybe kneel, you know, maybe that'll show some respect or something. And that's how he did it. So it was like a middle ground. And Jerry Jones, you know, he was one of those owners who was saying, hey, my players are going to stand up. You know, we respect this country. Everybody, you know, he was all loud and bold and loud during that time, and saying that all his players were going to stand up and all of that stuff. And I think he did something. He did like a little middle ground. Once Trump got involved, and that's when he said, okay, I'm going to wrap my arms around my players and we're going to kneel for one time, you know. So Jerry Jones is trying to walk, he's trying to be in the middle of this social justice movement when it's focusing on police brutality. And after George Floyd, you really can't be in the middle. I mean, even before, you really couldn't be in the middle. But now, because of the pandemic, everybody is shut down. It's forced America to see the ugliness and see the trauma and see the brutality of police brutality and racism. So we were just forced, everyone was forced to see it. You know, 8 minutes and 46 seconds of police having his neck on George Floyd and killing him, and it being caught on video, that you can't miss that. You could, you know, because like I said, no one is going out, nobody's going to the club, no one's going out. Everybody was forced to see that, okay? So now, you know, he's been silent. He didn't really say anything, like 100 and some days, he didn't say nothing. You know, Stephen A. Smith on ESPN First Take was, you know, saying, hey, where you at? Because most of the time he always is talking and have a lot of opinions on stuff. And he finally came out like 100 and some days later and said something. And, you know, I wasn't really feeling his statement. You know, he was saying, hey, we got to show grace. I'm going to show grace. I would like to show that kind of grace on a sensitive matter. What he says, everyone is genuine here. I'm giving everyone the benefit of the doubt relative to any decision that I will make. So he's not going to tell people pretty much what his flag or national anthem policy is going to be regarding his team. He was so forceful in 2017, but the tide has changed. Okay, so, and then he's even asking some of the players, you know, some of the players have been, you know, trying to be silent about it. But on this issue, you know, like, he's worth $8 billion, upwards of that, around that neighborhood. How much more money do you need? You know, at that point, you know what I'm saying? Like, racism is wrong, and you're either going to be with it or you're going to be, you know, you're going to be on the other side. And we know that Jerry Jones have given political money. He's given money to support Donald Trump in his campaign. So that's already public record. Okay. So in this moment, you are going to have to choose a side. I think we talked about that like a couple of, you know, weeks ago. But yeah, you can't be on both sides. You can't be on both sides. And this anthem issue, one of the things that it highlights for me, and me being a history teacher, is that people have gotten really, really bad history, or they've gotten history that has only focused on the experiences and traumas and, you know, accomplishments of white people, you know, because that's why especially this year, I want to take my job a lot serious. And you got to teach the real history of this country, you know, and I can tell, I can like just hear it on TV, just talking to certain people, when the only history they know is white people's history. They don't know what the contributions of African-Americans, they don't know the contributions of Asians, Latinos, you know, the list goes on, right? LGBT people, you know, so this whole flag debate, I think a lot of people only, when they looked at history, they only saw the experiences of white people in the military. Okay, and that's why they have this kind of reverence and respect. And oh, my daddy, my great 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 granddaddy was in World War One, and my great grandfather was in World War Two, and they have all of this like patriotism that's oozing, and it's all lovely, and it's all, you know, it's like that, right? And they, and it's, you know, it's like you can't criticize it at all, or you are unpatriotic. And I don't think a lot of people understand. And I think, you know, shout out to Shannon Sharp. I like how he's been trying to give people history lessons, because, yeah, you got to look up the Red Summer. You got to look up the Red Summer. I was just having a conversation with one of my friends, and some of them don't know what that is, you know? And, you know, you even got to look into the fact that Watchmen, a superhero show that was on HBO, that had to educate a lot of people on the Tulsa race riot that happened in 1921. So the fact that people, a lot of people don't understand the full trauma and the full torment and the pain that Black people have went through in this country, that is why we get into these moments right here. That's why we get into even, you know, Drew Brees, when he, you know, got himself into trouble, when he was saying, hey, you know, I stand up for the flag and all of this stuff. But you got to understand that Black people were not treated the same way in the military. You know, like 1919, I keep bringing that up, that's the Red Summer, which pretty much when Black people was fighting in World War One, they came back and they were being hung in their uniform. You had one documented case of that. And then you had like in 25 different cities, racial violence, racial white mobs would come in and destroy the Black towns and kill Black people. It was all over the city. It was all over. And one of the biggest ones was in Chicago. Ironically, that's the city they always want to, you know, use to try to talk down on Black people. But yeah, Chicago, you had people who was killed, white mobs. White mobs were lynching Blacks, killing Blacks. So if you don't know what lynching is, that's when they would string up Black people by the throat and hang them from trees and stuff like that. So we had we were brutalized. And then you had in World War II, you had something called the Double V campaign. So they was going to fight against fascism abroad, so fight against Hitler abroad, and then they were going to have to fight against racism at home. Okay, and then same thing happened. A lot of people, they was fighting for freedoms they didn't even have in America. Okay, they were fighting for freedoms they didn't even have in America. So they was risking their lives, almost died in the beaches of Normandy, and then couldn't even go into a diner in the South, right? So that was for Black people and Hispanic people, you know? So we got to understand that. And I think a lot of times, depending on where you are, a lot of people have gotten whitewashed history. And they only got history that only prioritized white experience, white people. So until we get out of that we're gonna keep having these issues. And we got, yeah, that's why we got on the other issue with the Confederate flags, because some people really think that those people were heroes, and they're pretty much downgraded the trauma and the torment of slavery. You know, like you talk to some of these people who make laws, some of these Republicans, and they don't even think slavery was that big of a deal. You know, they didn't really understand, they didn't go into detail into the brutality and the terror of racism and slavery and Jim Crow and segregation and all of that stuff. So, you know, the reckoning is coming in terms of laws, but we also need a reckoning in terms of our history and learning our real history, the good, the bad, and the ugly. All right, so that's my take on Jerry Jones. But yeah, like Jerry Jones, you're going to have to pick a side, man. You can't be on both sides. Pick a side and stick with it. All right, we're on the next topic. Alrighty, so we're on the last topic. And, you know, I gotta leave y'all with something good, something positive. You know, I've been making it a thing to get more into reading Black media, Black news sources. You know, I read a lot of news sources, so mainstream media, but I also want to, you know, give some love to our media too. And I was reading this in News One. So we're talking about this 6-year-old Kelly Boston Hill. So I guess she partnered with this company called the Book Fairies, and they pretty much, I guess, collect books, and they try to, you know, give them to people who are in low income neighborhoods. So this particular company is in Long Island. So this is a 6-year-old little girl. So she pretty much donated 5,000 books to kids during the pandemic. You know, so I think she partnered, well, I don't think, but it says that she partnered with this company. And yeah, like I said, they collect books, and she actually, and they not only collect books, but they also, you know, they share book reviews. They do virtual read-alongs for children who may not have access to books. And I guess it's supposed to promote literacy among youth. And me being a teacher, you know, this is a teacher story, but you know, I love the fact that we are promoting reading at that young of age. Okay, so definitely if you're a parent, or even if you're a student or whatever, you know, or if you're just a family member, promote reading with younger kids. It helps a whole lot when you get to school. Okay, so we're gonna be doing school virtually, but this is one of the stories that gives me hope, you know, for humanity. I know a lot of times we cover a lot of bad stuff that's going on and crazy stuff that's going on, but this is stuff that needs to get more attention. You know what I'm saying? This stuff needs to get more attention. You know, a lot of times when you just see stories about black people, it's always negative, but this shows a lot of, you know, this girl is 6 years old and she already has this kind of mindset to help out people who are misfortunate. And you know, black business, you know, so she's already partnering up with business and things like that. So this is really good. So this is the type of stuff we need to promote more of, because I think a lot of this selflessness has happened more often. It's just that it just doesn't get reported enough. So you know, so I'm gonna shout out to her for that. Okay, so keep doing your thing, keep reading, because that's always what you need to do. Okay, let me see. I saw this other story too. It says a 10-year-old. So these are young people, man. So you know, every time we have a movement on anything, movement for change, it's not always the older people. You know, just me doing my own research, it's always the younger generation that's pretty much you know, at the forefront of a lot of this stuff. So I'm looking at another news story. 10-year-old creates an art kit creates art kits for children living in homeless shelters amid COVID-19 pandemic. So they're creating art kits, okay? So that's just something else, another selfless thing that someone is doing, charity, things like that. So, you know, just to give us a break from a lot of the crazy stuff that we always see all the time. So it says for her 10th birthday, she pretty much donated gifts to create art kits for Chelsea's charity. Okay, so that's cool. So what other good stories have y'all seen? You know, we may make that a thing on Wild Word to try to give a shout out for people that's doing good stuff out in the neighborhood and things like that. So, you know, so what are some good news stories you have seen? And what are some things that you're doing to keep yourself sane and happy during this pandemic? Okay, so some of the stuff that I like to do is I'm trying to get back into exercising, and I like to read. Okay, so, you know, that's what I do. So keep the stress down, you know, and yeah, we'll see you next week on Wild Words.